Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com.
This Earwolf podcast is brought to you by Pepsi Next, the next big thing in cola.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bunk on IFC. You can find Bunk every Friday on IFC at 10:30 following Comedy Bang Bang. Watch it with your eyes.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're going to have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Whoa, we have a very, very big episode today. We have an in-studio guest, and we have a brand new movie to assign you for next week. But first, let me tell you, today's episode is sponsored by the brand new movie, Badass, starring Danny Trejo. This movie is kind of like a positive version of Death Wish. It was based on the epic Beardman clip. You ever see that on YouTube? Where like an old guy gets up on the bus and just kicks the shit out of this like punk on a bus. Basically, they made it into a movie. Danny Trejo is the star. And because they are sponsoring today's episode, they let us sit down with Danny and talk to him all about this movie. Whoa. This guy is awesome. I'm very excited for you to hear the interview with him. And then stay tuned to hear our brand new movie for next week. But first, let's take a listen to the trailer for Badass.
I don't want any trouble. Leave me alone.
I can either kick your ass while you're sitting down or while you're standing up.
I told you I didn't want to fight.
He's been given the name Badass, and he's a huge hit on the web right now.
They say you've been leaving a bloody trail all across the city.
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
Badass. That's what they're calling him.
I can't wait to see what this footage looks like. Appreciate your cooperation.
So, today we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Danny Trejo. You're in, right now, I'm looking at your IMDb page, 288 different movies. How is that even possible?
You know what? A lot of those are like student films and ultra low budget, you know, where they pay you $100 and
right.
Just like new directors that I always love working with and just helping out. And the student films I love doing.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
And do you still, is that something you did early in your career and still do it now?
Still do
it. That's amazing.
Those kids must be so thrilled to have you.
You know what? It is so much fun to show up.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they don't know what to do. You know, they were expecting Uni Giggins or somebody. You know? And it's just a lot of fun to watch them and the enthusiasm of what they're doing and their whole lives ahead of them and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like just so cool.
I imagine you meet really cool directors that way too. I mean, you know, working with even, you got involved with Robert Rodriguez early, right?
Yeah, we did Desperado. I walked into Robert's office and he said, "Wow, you remind me of the bad guys in my high school."
Ah, that's great.
I said, "I'm the bad guy." And me and Robert, you know, we've been pals ever since. We've got about 11 movies together. And this Tuesday, I'm leaving to do Machete Kills.
So good.
So great. Wait, now, why do you choose a movie like Badass?
You know what? When they gave me the script, first of all, unless there's something exciting in the first four paragraphs, I'm not even reading it.
Right.
I'm just like action. I love action. So this thing like just captured, bang, Vietnam, boom, boom, boom. This old guy that's just sitting on a bus, you know, and just minding his own business. And then this guy starts messing with this other guy on the...
Yeah, well, it's based on that YouTube video, right? This epic beard man. If you haven't seen it, it's an amazing video. Yeah. Basically, this guy
older guy just gets up and kicks the crap out of this other guy on the bus. And, you know, and then so that's the jumping off point for this movie for you.
When I read it, I told my mom, "Mom, look at this old man kicks his dick." Yeah, do that one. And so it's about this old guy just butting in and kicking this young guy's ass and, you know, just don't, you know, leave, you know, kind of like being somewhat of a hero or...
Well, you become like a community hero. I feel like it's like watching the movie. It was like a the movie Death Wish, but a positive version of Death
Wish.
You know, you're going around, you're helping the community, you're helping all these people out there. Yeah. But at the same time, you're just beating down like abusive boyfriends, fighting skinheads, getting into a car chase with city buses. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but there's buses. Buses are used. I've never seen a cooler action scene than two buses chasing each other. It's great.
How long did this take to shoot? With this, I feel like it like.
You know what? It's really hard for me to like remember because I did about four things while I was doing that. You know, I show up a day and split.
Oh, so you come in and go out. Yeah.
You know, and. Craig Moss was real patient with me. You know, he'd say, no, that's not the character. That's another movie, didn't it? Oh, okay.
It's hard to switch gears.
You know, so.
But because you're like, you're just filing through your mental file of badasses.
And I got to say, I think you're the only person to ever kick ass while wearing a fanny pack. I've never seen anyone
it's
be able to.
Everybody kept saying, hey, you're bringing fanny packs back.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when Craig says, well, you're going to wear a fanny pack. I says, okay, look, first of all, you lost me a fanny, okay? We write that, yeah. And then I remembered what it was. It was those little things that were actually, and I hate to say it, and screw you guys who don't like it, but they were really convenient.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And,
of course.
And then you didn't have your pockets all bulging with stuff.
Yeah, a fanny pack works. It's, you know,
That's going to be your claim to fame. You're bringing back fanny packs.
Well, should make a line of fanny packs.
Yeah. Danny Trejo.
I would buy one
with the logo on it. Fanny packs.
So this movie actually it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray on June 5th.
It's a lot of fun. It's a really good action movie.
Yeah,
it's like I liked the pace, the beat, you know, the boom, boom, boom. You don't get bored too often. You know?
No, I mean, and you will also. I don't want to spoil anything, but you will never look at a garbage disposal the same way. I'm now nervous around my garbage disposal out there.
That was great. You know what's so funny? Moss, Craig was a genius. You know, one of our biggest fears
is
sticking
is getting your hand, you know, it's like really so when he it was amazing, man. I said, whoa,
that's so a very frightening.
It's the unknown. You do not know what's going on down there.
Do you actually do your own stunts at all?
You know what? It's like you got to remember. First of all, insurance companies don't want you to do anything that's too dangerous.
Right.
I have a stunt guy.
This guy must make a ton of money because I don't imagine there's many people who look like you who can pull off being a stunt double of you.
And who work as prolific as you.
Norm Mora, right?
This guy's calling you being like, Danny, please, take fewer movies this year.
Just take a week off. I need to see my family.
I've got three cracked ribs. I need you to relax.
Well, let me ask you a question because I heard a story about you. June and I actually were donating blood at this hospital right over here, and the doctor's like, come in here. He brought us into his office, and there's a big picture of you. He goes, this guy is the best. Danny helps out our kids. He goes, what you don't know about Danny is he's amazing at the, you know, the claw games where they pull out the stuffed animals. So that you go there, you empty out the whole claw game, and then you just have like a truck full of stuffed animals.
There's a shrine to you pretty much in the office down there.
Thank you.
So are you good at the claw game?
Well, you know what? I'd say all my like friends in any restaurant, when you have those, so if they collect them, they always give them to me, you know, and so I say no.
You do your own claw stunts.
I knew my own claw stunts, It's funny, I was working with this battered woman's shelter, and I'd always have, like, teddy bears in my car, and I'd, you know, just take them, because a lot of times when they have to run away from dad and stuff, they can't take toys and barely take clothes. So I was in this, I was walking through, I don't know, CVS, one of those, and this little girl started yelling, Mama, look, the teddy bear man, the teddy bear.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what are you doing? I'm like raising my, what are you doing? And I had given, you know, I'd given them teddy bears, so she remembered.
Yeah.
Well, now, I mean,
that's a very sweet story that could have gone very badly for you.
What do you, up against what? Yeah, you there, back away from the child.
Excuse me, teddy bear man, on the floor, teddy bear man.
So, how did you actually get started doing movies?
I got out of the penitentiary August 23rd, 1969.
Having been in there for how long?
5 years that time. Okay. I had dedicated my life to helping other people. And and that's what I did. I just I don't care if you needed to be moved. You know, if you were a dope fiend alcoholic, we'd help move you. You know, and so I'm out of the pen, and I was working for a place called Western Pacific Med Corp Rehab, which is still right here. I still work for them. It's on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on San Fernando Road. And so I was working with this one kid. Who was about 18 years old. And he called me up about 11 o'clock at night and just said, hey, I got 108 days clean, Danny. I'm trying to stay clean. Would you just come down and hang out with me? There's a lot of blow on my jaw. Because, you know, in 1985, cocaine was massive in L.A.
You're saying crazy. Cocaine was big in L.A. in 1985? Danny, you're blowing my mind right now.
I mean, now it's crack. But it was like just crazy, right? And so he says, come down to my job. It's like crazy. So in 85, on movie sets, it was worse, you know?
Right.
So I showed up. I thought he was worked in a warehouse because he was a warehouse district. So it was 11 o'clock at night. And I just went down to support him, hang out with him. You know, I thought basically we were going to sit in the parking lot, drink coffee, smoke cigarettes. Then he was going to go back in after break and everybody's going to think we're gay, you know, and so sitting in this parking lot, you know, and it wasn't. I walked on the movie set of a movie called Runaway Train with John Voight and Eric Roberts. I walked out of that movie set. I thought it was the cutest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Because all these guys were like dressed like convicts, you know, and they're all like, hey, mother, watch out, move. It's like funny, man. They all had tattoos that smeared.
That's funny.
And this guy asked me, hey, do you want to be in this movie? And I said, what do I have to do? He said, do you want to be an extra? Yeah. And I said, extra what? He said, can you act like a convict? Yeah. I've been in every penitentiary in the state of California. I said, I'll give it a shot, you know, I took off my shirt.
Yeah.
I never forget because he saw my tattoo and he goes, wait a minute.
You're doing that thing where the director holds his hands up.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
Framing a shot.
I'm trying to figure out, what stupid neighborhood is that? I would never.
It looks like a gang sign,
You know what I mean? So this other guy comes over and says, hey, you're Danny Trejo. I go, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He says, I saw you win the lightweight and welterweight title up in San Quentin. I go, you're Eddie Bunker. I know you. And Eddie Bunker was a writer who became very famous in prison because he knew how to write writs. And in order to write a writ, like I can get anybody out of prison if I know how to write a writ. Mm. And you write a writ and it has to be written correctly. It has to be court jargon. It has to be spelled right. Yeah. You know, because any misspelled boop, they can kick it out. So he became really famous. Then he started writing books. He wrote a book called No Be So Fierce that was turned into a movie that Dustin Hoffman did called Straight Time.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and that's Eddie Bunker.
Oh, wow.
And so we started talking. I said, Eddie, what are you doing here? He said, I wrote the screenplay. I did the transfer from Japan.
The adaptation.
Ayakawa's to English, you know, and because at first they had John Voight's character as a wife killer.
Okay,
You can't be like kill your wife and be a hero in prison, you know what I mean? That's like kind of lame, you know what I mean? To kill her boyfriend, you know, it's like, that's all right. But so we started talking, and he said, Danny, are you still boxing? I go, well, I train, man. I don't want like getting hit in the face no more. He said, well, because we need somebody to train one of the actors how to box. And I said, what's it pay? And he said, $320 a day. And I said, how bad do you want this guy beat up? Come on, $320 a day? Oh, shit.
That's amazing.
To pretend.
I'd have done it for the $50 they were giving me for being an extra.
Sign me up.
Kick another $50 and I'll kick his ass. And he took me up to the director and John Voight. And they both liked me. Went to Eric Roberts, and I started training Eric Roberts how to box. Oh, for the movie Runaway Train. And then the director saw that Eric kind of liked me and would do kind of what I told him to do. So he hired me to be in the movie. So I'm the boxer in Runaway Train.
Amazing.
That was my first job.
And it was just from showing up to help your friend out, you know, who wanted to stay sober. But, you know, from that, everything came.
It's funny because from there, for the first 5 years of my career, I was like inmate number one.
Yeah.
I was inmate number one. I was bad guy number one. I was tattooed guy, you know.
At least you were the first one.
Yeah. Were you a robbery consultant on Heat?
Heat, yeah.
Yeah, a robbery consultant. And you're in it, too.
Eddie Bunker, yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Bunker. Well, I ran into Michael Mann. And Michael Mann's a brilliant. God, he's just too many takes.
But
he's brilliant, right?
That robbery sequence alone is unfathomable.
It's amazing. But then after that, I got cast. He cast me in the film.
And then you're working with those guys. You got like De Niro.
When I walked in, he said, "Let's go have lunch. We're gonna have dinner with these guys." I'm thinking it's like the mid range. We walk in, there's De Niro and Val Kilmer. I just couldn't believe it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like,
so was that transition from just not acting to acting in movies easy for you, or did it?
You know what? I think basically we're all actors. Some a little more than others. It's like if you're standing on a prison yard in San Quentin, and you know shit's coming down, and people are going to get killed, and you've got a knife, and you've got to not act scared. You know, you have to act like anybody gets close to me, I'm gonna kill, and then I'm gonna go kill the people that dry clean your clothes, and you have to have that. So I think basically you learn how to do that in life, and then if you can channel that in front of a camera, the biggest problem is people just can't channel that in front of a camera.
Right.
You know, it's like we all know how to act. We all know how to communicate. But then when they say, okay, action, then it's like a different story. Because all of a sudden it's like doing a robbery and everything starts moving in slow motion. And bang, it's like right there. You know, people that I went to junior high school with are going to see me.
Yeah.
Guys that didn't like me. Yeah. Guys that liked me. That girl that got away. All of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so that's if you can do it then you're all right.
And did you feel like, because you've done now, like I feel like since you started, and Paul's saying like over 200 things, but like 5-6 movies a year. And that is your...
6 I've done 10, 11.
Yeah. That's
but
unbelievable.
Then I know, but you got to remember again. See, a lot of guys don't do what it's like, if I do a big movie, I got 3 or 4 student films going, you know, while I love, you know, that's just giving back. That's all. And it's like, it's really hard to get actors to do student films unless they're involved in them. Okay, I'm doing a student film, but I'm producing. You know, it's like I just love showing up, man. Yeah. I just love watching the look in the kid's face and just like, you know. And then I don't mean egotistically. I just mean I get to help you in your. You understand?
Well,
I get to make a difference in your life.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And those kids, like you, must be such an asset for those kids to have because you've been on so many sets. You've done so many. You're like you are film school for these kids. I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like working with you is like working with somebody who is like a has a PhD in this. You know.
And speaking of which, you have been in so many things. I'm gonna just pick some of your more interesting credits. And you tell me just what pops into your head. Baywatch.
Loved it.
That's amazing. You were... and then also, the one movie that I'm most curious about, too, is Con Air. Because Con Air, you're there with a bunch of guys who are probably trying to, like, outdo each other, right? Like
test in testosterone ever in my life. Yeah. You couldn't spit on that movie without it turning into a... You would spit, and then somebody would spit a little further. Pretty 40 guys are spitting. You know?
I love that movie. And that movie
funny.
Go ahead.
Wait. Benny Yukitis, who is 5 times world champ kickboxer, right? Benny the Jet, they used to call him. Benny Yukitis was John Sensei, who people don't know this, because there's people in Hollywood, but everybody always asks me, who would be the toughest guy? You know what I mean? Yeah. you don't know some of the tough guys in Hollywood. You know, it's like you got to look at people's. There's people that think they're tough, but they just don't have that little thing in their eye. You know, that little thing in their eye. John Cusack has it. Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. People don't realize this. You just look at him, and you're just not sure. You just think this guy would go kill the guy that dry cleans my clothes. You know, just has a little something.
John Cusack.
John, honestly, God, yeah. He does, and he's bad. He can fight. He can. If you ever watch
really?
Him,
yeah.
If you ever watch Bo Benny, you can't restrain him. I mean, I've watched him kick a bag, and you just hear ribs breaking. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. And then George Clooney, same thing. George Clooney's got that little laugh, but it's like just a little off center, right? And then the other guys, I always forget his name. He's kind of a Texas guy.
Billy Bob?
No. Yeah, Billy Bob's just crazy.
Does Nick Cage fall into? We talk about Nick Cage a lot on there.
Nick Cage is a good dude. Nick Cage is a good dude, but he's just. It was kind of like. Like he can go crazy, but
it's more manufactured.
Yeah, it's more. I'll hurt, you know, this guy. Who's the guy on the plane that beat up the bathroom? He got. Yeah, they made him turn off his
Alec
Game Boy.
Baldwin?
Oh, yeah. Like he turned off
his
Game Boy. He had been playing Game Boy, shut it off, and he wouldn't shut it off, so he went in the bathroom and beat it up. Okay, well, that guy, okay, yeah, go beat him. But you're worried about the guy that would grab the stewardess. The stewardess. Yeah, turn it off, you're sedentary. You know, that's the guy you're just not sure of.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So beat up all the bathrooms you want. You know?
I love it. Clooney and Cusack.
No, really, I'm serious.
Yeah, I buy it.
It's like, just look, if you're ever talking to him, just look at him in the eye, and it's like you just get this little, I'm not sure about you.
Yeah. I'm going to watch my back when you're around.
That's amazing. Benny knew that I didn't play well with others.
Right.
I grew up with Benny's family.
Yeah.
Benny's older brother used to, back in the day, robberies and just bad stuff.
And this is here in L.A.
Yeah, this is in L.A. And so Benny knew me growing up. So when all this contest was going on, he saw that I would be really bad sport. He would take me in. We had a big dojo there that they had constructed because we were out in the desert for like 19 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof.
You know, I mean, we're talking Wendover, Utah. Okay, so you can stand on the. On the salt flats, and you know, I'm just about to see the curvature of the earth. It's like it's just nothing. You know?
Yeah,
and so you know, we would. I really learned how to meditate.
I imagine you wouldn't take any shit from like idiot actors too, right?
It's just funny. I keep trying to tell them these. They like to say, "Yeah, I grew up on the streets." I tell them, "Look, Hollywood, two shows a night don't count, okay?
Right.
You know, Hollywood Boulevard, two shows. Don't Broadway doesn't count. You know what I mean? It's like it's not that tough getting on a subway and driving. You know, going to Strasbourg. You know?
have you ever turned down something that you looked at later and you're like, oh, I should have done that? Has there been
some? I've never turned down anything. As you can see. You know what I mean? And you know what? My agency, they know that I will not. If somebody gives me a script, it's like, if it doesn't get me in the first couple, I'm done. I won't read it. So they do. We get about 12, 13 a week, and they'll read them and give me synopsis for three, and you know which one do you want to go with? And usually Gloria will just pick them for me. My agent Gloria, she'll just do this, and then her, you know, McConaughey.
Really?
That's the other one. You look at his eyes.
Oh, yeah. He's got it.
I ran into him in an award show in Texas, right? And we were talking, and it was so funny. It's like, you know, just being just an old ex-convict, you just size people up.
Yeah.
You can't help it. You have to. Your life depends on. So immediately, and I can see him, like, sizing me. I can see that little, okay. So there's another one you're not too sure of. I don't know if he's tough. I don't know if he's bad, but you're just not too sure of.
We just did a movie of his just recently on this show.
Yeah.
Because we look at movies that we're just trying to figure out what is going on with this movie. And he did a movie called Tiptoes, where his entire family are dwarfs. and midgets, and Gary Oldman is his brother, and it is a dwarf, and McConaughey is normal size. If you have not seen it, Danny Trejo, it is insane.
So, speaking of badasses, we have another question from Twitter here. People want to know, is Machete related to Uncle Machete?
Yes.
And Spy Kids.
I would have to say that that's what Uncle Machete does when the kids ain't around.
Okay. Oh, wow. So,
but, you know, it's so funny. It's like, Robert and I talked about doing Machete when we did Desperado.
Yeah.
You know, we did Desperado. Me and Robert just like just hit it off.
Yeah.
And then when we were in Mexico, Antonio Banderas was the star of
Desperado,
yep. Who's brilliant, man. He's unbelievable, right? But he's Spanish. Not love Spaniards. Love them. Right. Love Spain. But Mexico and Spain, different cultures. Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, same language, different culture. Right. So, you know, everybody loved him, but they're a little standoffish. Didn't rush to him. And me, I'm standing there with no shirt, tattoos all over me, all the Mexicans. They knew I'm Mexican, you know. And I'm saying, Mexican. You know, you know what I mean? And so... So Robert, it's funny, Robert's watching me sign autographs and take pictures and flirt with Selma Hayek. Yeah. I told Selma, honey, I would rob banks for you.
Wow. She'd send you back to a life of crime.
She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She goes, in this town? Thanks a lot.
That doesn't say a lot.
So Robert says, Danny, people think you're the star of this movie. And yeah. I said, you mean I'm not? So when we started talking, he started talking about Machete, this man of the people who blah, blah, blah. And right. That was like, you know, 20 years ago.
That's amazing.
So yeah. We've always had that in the back of our minds. So when we did Spy Kids, he called me, it's Uncle Machete. You know? And then when he did the fake trailers for
Grindhouse,
boom, let's do that. Even if we don't do Machete, we'll do this.
So yeah. And that trailer is one of the best trailers.
Oh, it's like such, it's a highlight of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, like when those trailers come out and in between the two halves, I just remember being like, this is amazing. And Machete is an amazing.
That's what everybody said. Yep. The minute we walked out of the theater after the premiere to Grindhouse, I looked at Robert, he looked at me, we laughed our asses off. It's gonna get done, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, that was now, do you actually like knives in your real life, or is that just
my parole plans has stated that I cannot be around any weapons or sharp objects of any kind.
Got it.
And so I guess as a joke to the CDC, Department of Corrections, sure. Robert just calls me knife.
So you were late.
Bajas Machete.
Yeah, because every name you have is a knife.
Yeah, it's always a knife name in Robert Rodriguez movies. Yeah, Razor Eddie, right?
Yeah, Razor Eddie, Razor Charlie.
And then, when your character in Desperado is...
Machete? No, Cuchillo. Bajas.
Yes.
Bajas, yeah.
I
was Cuchillo in Predator.
Oh, yeah, the new Predator with Adrian Brody. Yeah.
Saw that movie.
Yeah.
Recently on TV. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's actually, I like that movie. Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Somebody asked on Twitter, they said, who would win in a fight between Machete and Antonio Banderas and El Mariachi?
In El Mariachi, Desperado. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
If you ever want to feel inadequate as a man, I mean, just like, just ever, stand between Antonio Banderas and Johnny Depp. And you're looking, and you look, and you, what are we, having a bad day? What the hell? You look up at God, what the, I mean.
Wow.
They're both flawless.
Yeah.
And it would be okay if they were like, just punks.
Yeah.
Right.
They are so nice, you want to kill them.
And they're the full package.
There's right? nothing yeah. to hate. Right. They're
and super
Johnny
talented.
Depp. Johnny Depp. Robert Rodriguez gives us these lines. You know, are you a Mexican or a Mexican?
Right.
You know, and while on the set, here, say this. You know, Johnny Depp goes, wow, Danny, this is going to make us famous. He was serious. I said, what do you tell you? What, you haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean yet? Bastard.
I love it.
He's like the only one that doesn't really realize he's Johnny Depp.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Beautiful, beautiful. Antonio Banderas, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Antonio Banderas will cross a room to just see an acquaintance, a friend. I mean, he will just, oh my God, how are you? And just make you feel like, wow.
That's amazing.
So what kind of directors do you like to work with?
Robert Rodriguez wrote this book. It's called Rebel Without a Crew.
Yeah.
And I found that most of the directors that have read it and kind of dig it, I kind of get along with them. We're on the same page. Whatever that means, I don't know. But they've learned to, like, utilize time. They've learned to, like, keep things moving. You know, I hate self time.
Not waste a lot of time.
Yeah, because, I hate self time.
Movie sets can just waste.
I hate self time.
Destroy your energy.
When I'm in that trailer, it reminds me of being in the cell in Folsom.
Yeah.
Just like crazy, you know, so I'm just walking around. And they don't let you, they're shooting this scene, they're onto this one. Mm-hmm. So the character, we've already discussed him. We already know what he is. Me and Robert, especially Rodriguez, you know, it's like he can look at me and I know exactly what he wants. You know, sometimes he even tells me, stop acting, you're acting. You know?
Yeah.
This isn't Lee Strasberg, cut it out. You know? And
that's an amazing relationship.
But you know, he's we've done 11 movies. You know,
you're his muse.
Yeah. I always kind of like it's funny because I go my acting coach Juan Strasberg. He knows what he's talking.
And you were great in that movie Sherry Baby as well, which is also another movie.
Props to Gloria Hinojosa. My agent made me do that. I wasn't gonna do it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, I read it, and the first, like, 10 pages, it's like, it was just slow, because nobody got hit, nobody got killed, and then the way Lori Collier cut that, I said, Lori, the director, it was amazing, and I got to go all over the world with that movie.
That's exciting.
Everybody loved that movie.
Because you are doing like 10 films a year or a lot of films a year. Do you get surprised sometimes when you see yourself on screen? You're like, oh, I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
Does it like
usually when I'm in a different country?
Yeah,
I'll be like watching late night. Hey, I'm in.
You're gonna have your own channel.
Wait a minute. Robert is working on a kind of a third generation Latino channel. It's called El Rey.
Okay.
And I told him, hey, I want to be part of that. He says, you are. What are you saying? You said you are El Rey.
How could you not be?
Yeah.
So, but El Rey, and it's, you know, look it up. It's something to do with cable, and I'm not sure. But
all right.
Call Robert. I'll give you a cell number.
Yeah. Well, definitely check out Badass on DVD, Blu-ray. Yeah. You can go get it. Danny Trejo, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing.
You.
We awesome. Love talking to you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much. Danny Trejo, what an awesome guy. All right, there's a lot of things to tell you guys about. I decided to start a summer movie league, kind of like fantasy baseball for movies. If you log on to summermovieleague.com and search for How Did This Get Made, you can join our group. And it works just like any fantasy sport. You pick the movies that you think are going to do best this summer, and the winner of our group will get a prize. I don't know what that prize is. We're not even getting anything from it. I just think this would be fun to do. There's already 200 people signed in. So get in there, pick your summer movies, go to summermovieleague.com, search How Did This Get Made? That's our group. And if you win something, it'll be great. Speaking of winning something awesome, you could actually win maybe one of our brand new t-shirts, our Crank 2 Inspired t-shirts, which I just love. They're so good. They're available on our store. You know the deal. You pay for them, we send it to you, you get it. And if you win this whole thing, I'll give you a t-shirt. That sounds good. And some other cool stuff. Now, the moment you all have been waiting for. What is the movie we're doing for next week? Like we said, this summer is all about bad summer blockbusters. And there is no better, worse summer blockbuster than the 1998 Matthew Broderick action movie Godzilla. Oh my goodness. I remember being so excited for this movie. The trailers were amazing. You're like, this is going to be great. And then they showed you what Godzilla looked like. You're like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. It was one of the biggest disappointments seeing this movie in the theaters. And now we get to relive it all over again. That's right, babies. Baby Godzilla's hatching in Madison Square Garden, Matthew Broderick being a lead action star, Hank Azaria almost getting squashed by Godzilla. It's all there. So that is our next movie. Take a listen to the trailer.
We know where he came from. We know how big he is. His situation has become more complicated.
But our problems just multiplied.
He's pregnant.
What is this, the Virgin Lizard?
You've got to find that nest before it's too late.
Otherwise, up to a dozen are going to be born. Think of it.
Godzilla.
Doesn't he need a mate?
Not if he reproduces asexually.
Where's the fun in that? PG-13.
Man, I don't even know if I can stomach watching that movie again, but I'm very excited for us all to watch it. We have a very special guest, which I won't even tell you about right now. All right, so we'll see you next week on How Did This Get Made?
Welcome to the Pepsi Next Audio Taste Test. The next best thing to trying it in real life is trying it through your ear holes. Pop, says the Pepsi Next can, as you tilt it back and sip. A whiff of effervescence softly whispers, "Relax, my dear taste buds, relax. Together we can beat thirst." Instantly, the taste registers. A sweetness Lady Justice couldn't have balanced more perfectly. And you ask yourself, is this why artists paint? Is this perfection? When suddenly, from the nether regions of your mind, you hear cries of, is this too good to be true? But, like Mother Nature comforting an orphaned lamb, the writing on the Pepsi Next can reassures you, I may have 60% less sugar than regular Pepsi, but this cola taste is real.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The world's dead.
Hey folks, Paul F. Tompkins here, the host of Spontaneous Nation. Just wanted to let you know that all month for Pride Month, my show Spontaneous Nation features all LGBTQ improvisers and guests. That's right, everybody in the room except me, Eben, and our engineer is someone from the LGBTQ community. And this is not what should happen, but I will tell you this, for this month of Pride, Spontaneous Nation has more LGBT guests than any other podcast on the network. And we're very happy to have these fantastic folks. These are some funny, funny, funny episodes with some really wonderful performers. Please do check it out. Spontaneous Nation, Mondays from Earwolf.